Welcome to the Hello First Name Podcast. The Hello First Name Podcast revolves around the term personalization and is brought to you by marketing author Rasmus Holin, founder of Omnichannel Institute and chief experience officer at the marketing automation software company Agilic. The podcast is based on the book Hello First Name. Each episode is based in turn on a chapter from the book, followed by a discussion of the very same chapter with an expert marketing practitioner in the following episode. As always, you can buy the book on Amazon or other bookstores. You can also choose to listen to it all for free on your favorite podcast service. You're also very welcome to download the abstract of the book for free, and all models, of course, are able to download. All downloads are sponsored by Agilic. I'll make sure to put a link to everything in the show notes, but you can always connect on LinkedIn, and I'll be happy to reply and help out. Chapter 16, Data and Personalization. The previous chapter explained how access to first-party data is an essential prerequisite for personalization, at least if you can't settle for personalizing your campaigns only. But there are various other aspects that you need to consider relating to data and personalization. This chapter explores data cleanliness, how much data is needed, and how to scale permissions and data. Is your data clean? Having a lot of data is a good step towards profitable personalization. It won't get you all the way, though. As discussed in the previous chapter, zero-party data can easily become outdated, so it has to be somewhat recent in order for it to do the job. But this is by no means the only potential issue with data. It could also be that you have many duplicates in your database where the same individual is registered multiple times, for example with the same email address. You don't want to be sending the same information multiple times to the same individual. So these need to be cleaned up. It could also be that your contact information is disconnected in the sense that you may have separate lists for email addresses and phone numbers, meaning that you don't know which emails and numbers are for the same individuals. If you want to create seamless customer journeys, you need to be able to identify a customer no matter which channel you meet them on. Another common data flaw relates to the use of country codes with mobile phone numbers. Do you have a country code for all individuals? Should phone numbers have a 00 or plus first? Can your marketing automation platform or execution engine handle this? Most likely, this will need to be fixed further down in your marketing technology stack. How much data is needed to make personalization profitable? Within farming, the effect of adding fertilizers to the soil in order to boost yield is measured using a model called the MRN, maximum return to nitrogen, curve. The curve shows that at a certain point, the extra yield generated by adding more fertilizer is not worth the additional fertilizer cost. Within personalization, there's a similar curve. Imagine that the scale of your customer database and/or website traffic is equivalent to the size of a farm's fields. Then imagine that personalization is the fertilizer that will bring you a higher yield. The fertilizer comes at a cost, namely the resources needed to produce personalized campaigns and marketing automation flows and to optimize personalized content feeds. The more land you have, in other words, the bigger your database and the more website traffic you have, the more you can justify investing in fertilizer because you can expect the extra yield to bring you more money than you invested in the fertilizer. On the other hand, this also means that there's always an inflection point where you should stop investing in personalization. So how much data is enough to start using personalization? Well, the annoying answer is, of course, that it depends. What is most important is that the amount of data should at least enable your personalization to provide additional earnings to pay for the salaries of the people involved in creating the personalized customer experience. So, if you are a high-end retailer with a database containing marketing permissions for more than 1 million customers and you have a loyalty club that is used often by your customers, you should be good to go. That would place your company in the upper right part of the model in Figure 23. Remember that all models can be downloaded from omnichannelinstitute.com/resources. The smaller your scale, however, the smaller the potential returns. Compared to the retailer with over 1 million customers, a pure-play e-commerce website with 5,000 known customers and permissions will have a much lower limit for how much should be invested in personalization. In the matrix in Figure 23, this company would be placed in the lower left quadrant. Cost-effective personalization for this company could be achieved through, for example, built-in personalization of on-site product feeds, provided that the e-commerce system supports it, or there might be an easy implementation of an external system. Or it could take the form of a simple segmentation of the database for outbound campaigns, such as by gender or by primary interest in categories, all depending on the assortment, of course. One final possibility would be to use some sort of bottom-funnel cart abandonment tactic, such as an email when a basket is abandoned, or the simplest lookalike audience marketing on paid media. If, however, the value of a transaction in your business is very high, this can make up for a lack of scale. If the same e-commerce business were selling high-end luxury products, or if it were a business-to-business company selling windmills or other similar products, then 5,000 known customers and permissions would be considered sufficient to make deeper personalization worth the effort. Then the company would fall within the lower right quadrant of figure 23. Having a large-scale customer database with permissions and transactions alongside a high value per customer, upper right quadrant of figure 23, is of course the dream scenario, and personalization should be a no-brainer. On the other hand, if scale is big but customer value is low, upper left quadrant, then personalization could, for instance, be used to try to improve customers' purchasing frequency and gradually move them towards buying higher margin products as private label products. Most likely, it will be your industry and or core value proposition that has the strongest effect on your value per customer, though. Reevaluate often. Having enough data is a moving target. If the scale of your company's customers, permissions, and data are on the low side, and if your core value proposition is both highly engaging and involving, then it will only be a matter of time before personalization becomes a reasonable investment. This is time that you should spend chasing new customers and their permissions, and of course, the first transaction with each of these customers. So put deep personalization efforts on hold until you've achieved scale with your customers, permissions, and third-party data. How to scale permissions and data? The most important thing to do in order to scale permissions and data is to keep asking customers for consent no matter where you meet them. If you have a massive retail presence in brick-and-mortar stores, then train and incentivize your sales associates to always ask for loyalty club membership. Use gamification software on your website and in your app to always ask unknown visitors for marketing consent and let them submit a little profile data through fun and engaging games. And of course, use lead ads when you are advertising on social media to give you new marketing consents directly from your advertising. You should also consider sending out automated emails with the sole purpose of engaging customers and getting them to submit more data or update old data about themselves. Do a monthly price draw for customers with a full profile, or use the GDPR as an excuse to ask people kindly update their information. Simply displaying their information directly within an email can lower the threshold for getting them to engage. Seeing outdated information about oneself is a good nudge towards updating it. As an example of chasing more marketing permissions, the Danish kitchenware retailer Kop & Kande boosted its permission base by approximately 15,000 new permissions through a fairly simple Christmas advent calendar on its homepage. Everything was done with no-code configuration and in collaboration with the company's suppliers. The Danish retailer Coop has taken this one step further. According to the company's commercial director, Peter Boris Kreilgaard, Coop is now selling similar gamification campaigns to its suppliers as retail media, as described in Chapter 9. Persistent customer logins. One way to collect more behavioral data from your website and app is to entice customers to create a profile and to log in. And make sure that the login is persistent so that users don't have to log in over and over again. Customers can be enticed to log in by offering functionality that is solely available for logged-in users. This could take the form of personalized product feeds with favorites or previously bought products, as in the case of the grocery store Nemlig.com, discussed in Chapter 12. It could also include previously visited products or products that the customer had in their basket earlier. With a recent initiative, Amazon Style, Amazon has even made it possible to visit one of the company's physical locations, scan products, and add them to your fitting room. As customers browse the physical products in the store, they can choose to scan barcodes on products they wish to try on, already being logged in on the app, obviously. These products will then not only appear in the fitting room, but also remain as a data point long after the session is over. We've now covered what the scale of your customer database, your marketing permissions, and your first-party data means for the results you can potentially create through personalization. The next chapter considers one final topic related to prerequisites for personalization, namely conversion rate optimization, CRO, and then offers some conclusions on when you should and shouldn't consider personalization.
Thank you for listening in on this episode of Hello First Name. Remember that all models and even a written abstract of the book are available for download. You'll find the link in the show notes.
In our next episode, which is a more classical podcast style, we'll be discussing the chapter you just listened to, namely Data and Personalization, with Michael Biedenharder, Chief Consulting Officer at the DACH Digital Agency Nexum AG,
and host of the Loyalty Talk podcast.